So, Paul, do you ever get blisters?
Where?
On your feet.
Oh, right. No, I'm reasonably blessed in that department, especially with my new lower boots. That's a great old trade. Thank you for that.
Yeah, that's a bit of sneaky
it was almost
advertising.
as though we rehearsed that, wasn't it?
Yeah.
No, I tend to be okay.
Okay, because I got the mother of all blisters a week or so ago. And it wasn't from, doing my usual 5 or 10 mile walk around the Wiltshire countryside. I just nipped into Dorchester for a real day out wearing a pair of brogues. And the leather brogues did for me. I got this huge blister from walking 1 mile from one side of town to the other.
Well, that'll learn you.
That'll serve me right. Should have worn me lower shoes.
Absolutely.
Welcome to another Hidden Wiltshire podcast. We are up to, can I count, number 12.
12, yeah.
So we've been doing this. We're in June now. We started in January.
Mad,
can't
isn't
believe that. Anyway, for those who don't know who I am Glyn Coy, and I do many things. I started off taking photographs, but in the course of this podcast, I've become a broadcaster, an amateur historian, not much of an archaeologist, actually. But yeah, hidden talents are being uncovered in this journey, I think. And with me, as always, this week, I have.
Paul Timlett.
So it's been 2 weeks since our last podcast, and in that 2 weeks, quite a lot seems to have happened. We've been quite busy. The landscape has been busy as well because we've transitioned from bluebells to cow parsley and soon to be orchids. It's quite an interesting change of colour in the landscape, I think. And buttercups. Buttercups are
Yeah,
everywhere at the moment.
incredible
Have you
number.
noticed that?
And the orchids are already
Yeah.
here in some places.
Some of them are. Yeah. Bit late coming out,
Yeah,
but they
I
are
can.
starting to appear this week, definitely.
Yeah, they seem to be about sort of 3 weeks behind where we were last year. So, well, you and I went up to Parsonage Down, didn't we? Sort of this time last year.
We
And
did.
had a look
We
at
did.
the
We did.
had a look at the orchids up there, and the part of the down we went to is called Parsonage Bank, which is normally awash with orchids. And I went there the other day. There was none, not a single orchid.
Oh.
And but I went to other parts of the down. In fact, I went back 2 days running, and found loads and loads of burnt tip orchids, which apparently Parsonage Down is if. Well, one of, if not the best place in Wiltshire to find them. But being so tiny, I mean, they're only, I don't know, 6 inches high. So they're quite difficult to spot. But then when you find your first one, you find another and another and another. You just start getting your eyes in. But,
Yeah.
yeah, plenty of orchids up there. I saw a few the other day when I went to Little Langford Nature Down. Nature Down? Nature Reserve. Little Langford Down Nature Reserve, so,
In
and
Groveley,
Gro
that's on
yeah,
the edge of
Groveley
Groveley Wood,
Woods,
isn't it?
and just on the, what is it, the northern edge, isn't it, of the woods, there's a nature reserve there. So Stuart and I had a walk down there the other day, and we found some different species of marsh orchids, which I've never seen before. So that was a first.
Oh, very good. So what else have I done? Oh, the walk. We'd had our first Hidden Wiltshire walk. That was on the bank holiday Monday, and it was fantastic weather. The views were amazing. You could see for miles. And one thing I noticed more than ever was as we walked around and we were sort of talking to the people on the walk about what we could see in the landscape is there are so many barrows up there. We're literally tripping over them. They're everywhere. And you can understand when you walk it at sunset, why they've put those barrows in the places they did is because you can see the sunsets behind them and things like that. It was really interesting. Yeah, it was a good walk.
And you had an archaeologist with you, didn't you? Yeah, a
real
one.
Yeah, we had David Dawson from the museum. It was great, actually, because he brought a little bag of stuff from the archive. So when we were on Battlesbury, he got this little bag out and got bits of pottery out, which had been dug up on Battlesbury. And he was also able, you know, to talk about various bowl barrows that we were walking past, you know, what had been found in them, or in some cases, what hadn't been found in them because they were dug and there was nothing in there. So, yeah, it was a really good walk. And I'm looking forward to the next one, which will actually be, I think it's on the 12th of June, Saturday, and that's going to be around Sutton Veney and Titherington, believe it or not, which I think we're talking about doing that as our next podcast.
It's a few years since I've been up there. In fact, last time I went, did that pretty similar to the walk that you did, that you put on the website. Our kids were much younger, and we went what do they call it? Geocaching up there.
So there's
a few round there. But
some nice scenery up there, and it's the thing I like about it is when you get on the hill above, you can sort of. You can look at do a 360 and you can start to connect all these little bits in the landscape where you've been, like you get a great view of the Deverells and Coal Kitchen Hill. You've got the Great Ridge, and you've also got the Warminster skyline in the other direction. And yes, yeah, it's a nice place, nice walk that one. So yeah, 12th of June, you can sign up if you go to hiddenwiltshire.com. There's a blog post up there with links to all the walks and how to get tickets and the rest of it's being done in collaboration with the Wiltshire Museum, so it's all being done through the museum's website in terms of tickets, etc.
And of course the advantage of that is that you know, David Dawson is there, who is a proper archaeologist, so you've got somebody talking about the landscape who actually knows what they're on about.
Yeah, and much of the archaeology in the landscape where we do these walks, anything that's been found very often is in Wiltshire Museum. So David does a bit of research before, checks where we're going and sees what's in the archive. And, you know, he can talk through what's been found and put the archaeology in the context of the history and what's known. It's So these walks are good walks in themselves, but actually they're quite history walks, I suppose, and archaeology walks. So if you're interested in that kind of thing, it's really good to come along.
Right. So... where are we going today? As if we didn't know.
Fifield Down. And, of course, if we're going to Fifield Down, we can't go there without talking about the Devil's Den. Okay, so Fifield Down and the Devil's Den. So I think you went there recently, actually. You did a walk and posted it on the website, didn't you?
Yeah, I sort of retraced a walk that I did, was it last year? So my walking chum, Stu, and I went back last week because the first time I went, I didn't even know about the Devil's Den. So... this time I thought we'll go back and have a look at that, see if we can find it.
Do you remember, actually? I remember last year I put a picture up of the Devil's Den.
Yeah.
And said, oh, this is up near Fifield Down. And I think you put a post up saying, what?
Yeah, bugger.
I was up there. I've never seen that. Where the heck's that thing? Because it's a great big dolmen that's can't be missed if you know where it is.
And having now found it, I was probably within about 200 metres of it last time. And I didn't even notice it.
It is quite... I know some people have reported it's been hard to find for them. So I found it quite easily, but I did a bit of research before in terms of, you know, where to go on the map and what footpaths were going to take me there. Because it's not on a walk in itself. It's not sort of on a path. It's kind of, you have to go out of your way to get to it, and it's surrounded by farmers' fields.
So when I plotted the walk that I did last week, I deliberately sort of threw in a loop that took it in. So I made it as part of the walk. And there were a couple of other things that I wanted to go up there and look for, which we'll come on to, because that turned into a bit of a story. But as we sort of talk through this, we can mention that. So the walk that I did, if you go onto the website, it's a blog dated the 27th of May, and it's entitled Sarsen Stones and the Devil's Den. And as usual, at the bottom of my description and the photographs, there's a map that shows the route that I took. But like a lot of these walks, there's loads of different options, particularly 5 foot down, which is just crisscrossed by footpaths, bridleways, byways, ancient trackways. So there are so many different options and different start places as well. I quite deliberately started at West Overton and parked by the church there, which I have to say, I think now I probably wouldn't recommend starting there, because there's really only space for kind of one car. There's a little sort of no-through, well, it's not even a road, a track that goes past the front of the church, and you can get sort of one car up on the verge, which last year when I did the walk, that's what I did, and there was no problem. But this time round, it just, I don't know, perhaps because I was in a bigger car, that I felt like we were a bit in the way. So another option, if you wanted to start that side of the river, of the Kennet, which we cross, if you wanted to start that side and see some of the villages along the Kennet, then I would recommend parking at the sort of village hall at Lockeridge. And again, if you sort of look at the blog and the map, you'll see where I mean. It's very simple to find. It's a big car park, and you know, there's no notices saying no parking or anything, so I think it's perfectly okay. But Stu and I started at from the church in West Overton, and the plan was to cross over the River Kennet, and it's lovely along there. I mean, it's a beautiful sort of chalk stream that sort of floods into the meadows from time to time. And again, I won't go into all the details now. You can read it on the blog, but we had some difficulty getting across because there's a footpath that I had followed before, which was, basically it was about knee-deep in water. So we'd have got absolutely soaked right at the beginning of the walk, so we had to find a detour around it. Now, the other downside, I think, to starting that side of the Kennet, so the south of the River Kennet, is that you have to get across the A4, which is pretty unpleasant. It's a really fast stretch of road there.
Yeah. There is another place to park on the other side,
yes.
So you avoid crossing the A4, and that's up by, on the road up towards Manton House. There's a great big car park up there. It's quite easy to find, because you sort of go up the road to Manton House, and then you hit the sign saying private, go no further, and you just chuck a left, and there's a car park which is right by the track. There's a sort of byway there that can take you. From there, you can drop down into Devil's Den, or you can head over towards, you know, Fifield Down, and it joins up with the Ridgeway much further along.
Yeah.
You go past the Gallops and things like that.
Yeah. But as I say, you don't take in the Kennet and the villages along there. So principally the villages of West Overton and Lockeridge. And I had a kind of ulterior motive. I was hoping against hope that the Who'd Have Thought It pub in Lockeridge would be open when I got back, but sadly it wasn't. But yeah, if all you want to do is visit Fifield Down, and say all, I mean, there's so much to see. then, you know, it's probably best to park where you did, or even park at Avebury if you're a National Trust member, and you can park for free in the National Trust car park and come up from that direction.
Yeah, yeah, because it's right in the middle. It's kind of slap bang in the middle of Avebury and Marlborough, really. And that's the thing, that the down itself, if you want to explore it, it's absolutely enormous. I mean, you need two or three trips.
Yeah, you do. 325 hectares, apparently. And that's just the nature reserve bit, because it's a national nature reserve, so it's a Natural England job. It's triple SI. So huge areas, as I said, crisscrossed by all these, the Ridgeway goes across there, the Hare Path or Hare Path or Hera Path or however you pronounce it. What was the other one? There's another long distance footpath that crosses there. Huge area.
Yeah, you've got the Wessex Ridgeway and you've got the Ridgeway.
That was it.
To the west of it. And it's on the map here, it talks about the Hare Path or Hera Path or Green Street. So that's Green Street that leads from Avebury.
Yes.
Directly to the area. It's an ancient, there's a lot of ancient trackways intersecting here, and that's probably why there's loads of archaeology as well.
So the way we went, having crossed the A4, and again you'll see a photograph of a little gap in the hedge which actually is the entrance to the bridle way that leads you north onto the Fifield Down. It's next to a little house that's right by the road, which I think I've read somewhere that house used to be a pub. You head more or less due north and you come to this beautiful little house, this thatched cottage, which I photographed and posted. It's called Down Barn Cottage, and it's just tucked up this little valleyway, little valley up a track, and it's right at the end of the track. And every time I see it, I thought, I'd love to live here. It's just, I mean, it's quite close to the A4, but you can't hear it, and all you can hear is the sheep and the skylarks singing. It's absolutely stunning little cottage. So it's it's another reason to start at West Overton or that sort of way. Start south of the A4 is to pass that cottage. But from there, you basically just head out onto to Fifield Down. There's various bridle ways and footpaths, which just take you up the hill, and almost immediately you start to see the Sarsen Stones. I was looking at where the word Sarsen comes from, and it's nothing to do with vinegar. It's from a Saxon word, Sarstan, which apparently translates to troublesome stone.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah, so...
Well, they are troublesome because they're still there.
Yeah.
They've not been moved for ploughing or... and I know that many have been removed over the years for building, not least of which Stonehenge is made up of. The large stones at Stonehenge are made of Sarsens. Well, I think those Sarsens at Stonehenge, actually, they discovered that they came from Westwood, which is fascinating.
Yes, I saw that, yeah.
Yeah. But it just shows you how much Sarsen there is in this area. I mean, when you go up to Fifield Down, it literally is awash with them. It's like a sea of stones.
Yeah. But they're in sort of like patches, aren't they? You get stones dotted around, and then you find almost like a river of them.
Yeah, yeah. It is like a river down through the valley, a river of stones.
Yeah, we'll come on to that. Yeah. But the other name for them, when you look at the map, it says... all over the place, there's Sarsen Stones or Grey Weathers. And, of course, a weather is a sheep.
Yes.
A sort of ancient word for sheep. And I found this passage from the 17th century writer John Aubrey. And I'm just sort of read this out in reference to the stones. And he says, "They are, as it were, sown so thick that travellers in the twilight at a distance take them to be flocks of sheep, brackets, weathers, from whence they have their name. This tract of ground looks as if it has been the scene where giants had fought with huge stones against the gods. That's a fantastic description. But we, from the Heropath, and having my next sort of target was to revisit. There are two little woodlands there. The one's called Delling Copse, which the Heropath goes right past, which is a beautiful little wood, and again, which we're going to revisit in a bit. Packed with wildlife, and saw several buzzards sort of coming out of the trees in there. But I was heading from Delling Copse to the next little woodland, which was it's just on the map, it's described as Beach Circle. And on the edge of the Beach Circle is, as it sounds, a little beach copse, and on the edge of it is this house called the Delling. And when I went there, I think I first went there in something like 2017, and there's a gate into it, into the copse, into the Beach Circle, and it was, you could just pass through it, and you could sort of see this house, and it was already, you know, it had been unoccupied for sort of 30, 40 years, and it literally just sits in the middle of nowhere. And what intrigued me was that I posted some pictures from when I went in 2017. I mean, the windows, you know, you could look into the house, and it was very overgrown even then, and the front door had number 92. Over the door, and you know, where's 91, and where's the rest of the street? And it's just in the middle of nowhere. And I was googling this house, and I found some estate agents' details from a few years ago, where some very expensive estate agent was selling a huge tract of land between there, all the way down to Manton House to the east. And it's a sort of sporting estate, and the house and Beach Circle came with it. And it said, and I can't remember exactly what it said, but it said something like that. The house was in need of improvement. I mean, this thing is just falling to bits. And but when Stu and I went back last week, a lot of it had been boarded up now, and the windows had been boarded up, which was, it was looking very sad. And clearly, when the estate was sold, they decided not to convert it into a little pied-à-terre. It was... It's just falling to bits. But having sort of, I must have climbed over a gate to go and have a look at it. But in the Beach Circle, I wanted to go back in there because there was another of these places in Wiltshire where there's obviously some strange goings on. And people have been visiting that little beach copse, and... there was a sort of a little stone circle. There was all these rocks had been laid out in a circle with another circle in the middle. And then this was in this sort of the open clearing in the middle of the beech copse. And then the beech trees that surrounded it, I was sort of walking around, and there was little piles of pebbles that had been sort of tucked away in the tree roots. And so God alone knows what goes on in there.
Some sort of pagan rituals or stuff yes. like that.
Yeah, no doubt. But having seen the couple that I photographed walking down the path, they told us about the bluebells that we could see in Totterdown Wood.
Yeah.
So that's we sort of headed on up there, and sort of what my one last bluebell shot of the season, which I put on the Facebook group. And I think we were probably a bit late to see it in all its glory. I think if we'd have been there maybe a couple of weeks before, it would have been another stunning place to see bluebells. But of course, what I didn't know when we went was the existence of two other stones, which you and I went and visited last night, didn't we?
So where are we, Glenn? Where have you brought me?
Well... it's a bit hard to describe, but it's the middle of nowhere.
It is, definitely.
So it's ostensibly Fifield Downish area, which is huge, of course, because there's a wide expanse of open land up here, which is absolutely riddled with sarsen stones.
Sarsen stones and yellow rapeseed.
And the old cow, quite a few of them.
And Skylarks.
Yeah, birdsong.
So we walked up from, Amesbury. We've got from Amesbury at all,
haven't we? No, we
have. Avebury.
Yeah.
So how long did it take us to walk up here? About an hour.
How did that happen? I don't know. But it's a bit of a walk, whichever way. You can either get here from the Manton side, which is a little bit further, or walk from Avebury. Mm. But you have to trek to get here. And it's where we are now is actually quite interesting because we're stood in front of it's known as the Polisher Stone.
Yeah.
And the Polisher Stone is an old sarsen stone which has some sort of deep grooves in it, which are a telltale sign as to what it is. Because it's like the best way to describe it would be a Neolithic workbench, which was used to make tools like axe heads and things like that, which would be shaped by rubbing them into the grooves on the rock.
And this stone, this sarsen stone, is actually lying down in the grass here.
Yeah.
And the grooves are sort of at one end. So the thought is that this stone would have been standing upright and at some point has been pushed over or has fallen over. So we're trying to figure out whether the grooves would have been at the bottom or the top of the stone, because that's probably about, 5 foot? From the base to the top where the grooves are.
So either someone would be sort of low down or stood up.
So it's either somebody as short as me.
Yeah, someone's vertically challenged.
Or as tall as you.
it's interesting. I mean, it's a funny thing, this, because it's not marked on the Ordnance Survey map. So it's kind of known a little bit by word of mouth, but also I think it is marked now on Google Maps. So it is possible to find, but you have to do your research before you come up here because it's not signposted. And it's one of many sarsens in a field, and it could easily be missed if you walked past it and didn't know what you were looking for.
Absolutely everywhere. And we're stood here staring at this stone, and behind us is what's called Totterdown Wood, which I wrote about in my blog about Fifield Down. And then looking across to our right, there's... what's that house called? Yeah, so the house is on the edge of what's called Delling Copse. So we can just about make out the house, which is sort of gradually being absorbed by the woodland.
It's a shame that no one lives in it, really, because it's an idyllic location.
Anyway, we're going to go and try and find something else, aren't we?
Yeah. There's another stone we want to find that's around here, isn't
it? Yeah.
So let's head over there. So that was a bit of a challenge, wasn't it?
I think waste of time is the word phrase you're looking for.
Talk about looking for a needle in a haystack. Yeah. We were looking for the cup stone, and we had some grid references and went to the grid reference and it wasn't there. So we've been walking around looking at 100 different sarsens and still not found it.
Yeah,
and now the sun's coming down and the light's fading, so we better get heading off. But
it's 45 minutes we've been blundering around this boulder field.
It's happened to me before. The first time I tried to find the Polisher Stone, I wasted a whole evening and didn't find it.
We both, from different directions, have arrived at exactly the same stone using an 8-figure grid reference, and it's the only big rock around here. And then I've just Googled it, and it says it's about, I don't know, how far is that? 50 metres.
Yeah.
Over towards Totterdown Wood, which is just above us. So not with the grid references at all. Anyway, we're going to have to give that up for today, I think.
Yeah, the frustrations of sarsen hunting.
It might also be getting a little bit late to look for the toad stone.
I know. You know what that means, though. We're going to have to come back.
Oh, dear. Quel dommage,
yeah.
As Rodney says.
Oh, look at that sunset over there.
Derek. Yeah, it's... When we started off, it was sort of horrible grey, drab, but now the clouds are just sort of peeled away. And
it's blue sky.
Yeah, blue sky above, and clouds in the distance. Ideal conditions for a superb sunset.
Yeah.
So if we can get a bit higher up, we might see some fireworks. But in the meantime, I think we're going to head for that stile.
Yeah, I think we need to race the daylight, I think.
Well, some of us have got a head torch, yeah.
I left mine at home. Bloody hell.
Well, I'm all right.
Oh, you're all right, Jack, yeah. Oh, well, maybe another time.
Yep.
Looks like we're being stared at.
Yeah.
There's three calves and a mother just looking at us from the path.
Yeah.
We're just stopping here to take a photo in the distance. We're kind of running out of time in terms of daylight, but another stone we were trying to get tonight was the toadstone. And we just spotted it in the distance from the path because it's a great big stone that looks in the shape of a poised toad.
And I was expecting something a lot smaller, and I thought, it's big. Another wild goose chase blundering around.
Oh, you can't miss that, can you?
It's huge. We must be at least 100 metres from it.
Yeah.
And, I'd have walked past it. You spotted it, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah.
And, look, what's that? It's a
toad. I only spotted it because it was so big. I was thinking, that's a big one, isn't it? It's much bigger than the other stones. You can see it is shaped like a toad.
Just putting my Mahusive great lens on to see if I can get a picture of it, because it's by the time we get over and get back, we're seriously running out of daylight. Oh my goodness, it really is quite murky. That's sheep.
Got it in shot?
Ooh, can actually see it there.
That's not too bad. It's not too bad. Given the low light.
Yeah. It'll be... Right, so I've zoomed right in on the back of my camera. We're looking at this. And that's a toad, isn't it?
Yes. It's a toad.
No, that's a cow.
Oh, yeah.
That was a cow. That
was a sheep, wasn't it? Oh, no.
But, yeah, that's incredible. So, 2 out of 3. Not bad.
Yeah, pretty good.
Still got an excuse to come back, though.
Well, there's just so many of them. As we were walking down the hill, you were talking about how it's like a river, it's like a flow of stones. This bottom of this valley that's just flowing all the way down there into what is called, what locally is known as the Valley of the Stones.
So we've stood just behind us. So we're looking kind of east, and behind us is Dilling Copse. And so if you're looking at a map, and then the stones, the sarsens, sort of accumulate in this sort of depression. Oh, there's a fox. We hear the fox barking in the wood behind us. That's in Dilling Copse. So the sarsens sort of accumulate in this sort of depression, and then sort of flow down into the Valley of the Stones. And the Valley of Stones is sort of this top end. Where the toadstone is, gets quite sort of steep-sided. So the stones all sort of accumulate, and it's just like they've been carried down by water, except it was over millennia as the last glaciers melted in the last ice age. And over thousands and thousands of years, the rock debris, including the sarsens, were carried down what is known as the Valley of Stones. Remarkable place.
It honestly feels really wild.
Especially with that fox.
Yeah, with that noisy animal behind us in the wood that's barking. But it's just all the field work is covered in stone, so it's not ploughed. There are loads of anthills and hawthorn and trees.
And the anthills are a sure sign of land that has just not been unimproved, is the technical term, unimproved land. Never been ploughed, and these anthills have been here some of them hundreds of years.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Gosh, so peaceful. All sorts of noises coming out of that wood.
You can hear another fox, there's one down there as well, down the valley. We're calling to each other.
Hear it? Yeah. I think as the light's disappearing, the area's being given over to the animals now.
The creatures of the night.
Creatures of the night.
Oh, what's that?
There's all sorts of noise coming out that way.
It could be deer as well.
Yeah. Oh, well.
We better crack on.
Yeah, we best crack on. So that was interesting to have a bit of time outside. We should do more of that.
And to discover nearly discover three stones, discover two stones.
Yeah, two out of three ain't bad.
Yeah, that I knew nothing about the day that I was, that Stu and I did it last week. So that was a lovely interlude last night to go searching up there. But going back to the walk, so I think if you were to string together a walk or adapt the one that I've posted, it would be very easy just to include the polisher stone, which was, you know, probably 10 minutes from Totterdown Wood. The cut stone, which we never found, but I've got a better idea as to where it is now, which is right on the edge of Totterdown Wood, and the toadstone, which would be very easy to include as you come down the Heropath at the beginning, as you cross the gallops onto the Heropath where I saw those two people. The toadstone, I mean, I've no idea how Stu and I didn't see it, because we'd have walked past it to our right. But that sits at the top of the Valley of the Stones.
Yeah, and the toadstone is huge. I mean, how you miss that, I'll never know.
We weren't looking for it. We didn't know it was there. But we went from Totterdown Woods. We sort of headed in the vague direction of Manton House, and you very quickly come across a the first gallops that we crossed earlier on are quite narrow and fairly unobtrusive, but the gallops around Manton House, it's huge, isn't it? I mean, furlongs of
huge. I mean, that must have a huge horse installation or something. I mean,
it's
actually, when you look at the map, there are multiple gallops and stables, a huge amount of land given over into horse training.
And there was amazing. A race. I read that there used to be a race along those gallops.
Right.
And it was, I'm making this up now, it was something like the Fifield Furlong or something.
Right.
If you Google it, look, Google Manton House or Manton Estate or whatever it's called. There's something on there about it. And I think they ran it just before the Derby. So in the racing calendar, it comes just before the Epsom Derby, but you can see why. I mean, there's an awful lot of money has been spent on the grassland there and maintaining it. I mean, you could eat your dinner off it. When we looked at it, and Stu and I, because we crossed it twice, those gallops, you could land an aeroplane on it, I reckon.
Yeah.
If they sort of mowed it a bit more and got rid of some of the divots from the horses, you could, you know, it's long enough to land a light aeroplane, like they do at Druid's Lodge on the way to Salisbury, the polo field there by the A360. They all the polo players come in light aircraft and then they play polo on the landing strip. Absolutely immaculate. I mean, and come and do my lawn sometime. It's incredible the work they've done there. So from there we were kind of dipping in and out of Fifield Down. So Manton House, I think, if you looked at the map, it probably sits just outside of Fifield Down, just to the sort of the east of it and the north. Yeah. So we didn't go to Manton House. We sort of stopped short of it, crossed the gallops, and then back down onto Manton Down. And again, looking at the map there, it's one of these places where, you know, there are, you know, earthworks, settlements, mounds, you know, marked on the map, just everywhere. Field system, an ancient field system there as well.
Yeah.
And it's, again, one of these beautiful, peaceful places. Wildflowers everywhere. It was just absolutely stunning. And we had a nice day when we walked it. It was pretty warm. And I think we saw, but out on that part of Fifield Down, we saw two other people. But we then sort of headed towards the we were heading towards the Devil's Den, and we were following a right of way marked on the map, and came across one of my favourite subjects, blocked footpaths. So a farmer had sort of put a fence right across the the right of way, which brings you into the eastern end of the Valley of the Stones.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'd already walked across the top of the Valley of the Stones to the west and higher up, and then we'd done a sort of big loop all the way around and ended up at the bottom of the Valley of the Stones. But the only way to get to it was to climb over this fence, which we did because the footpath had been blocked. And I was taking some photographs up there, and a couple came down behind us, a Welsh couple who had come over for a sort of a short break. I can't remember where they were camping now, they had a caravan. So they'd come out to do it. And the guy that was behind us, he ran sort of army cadets. He was quite an old chap and retired. And he used to run sort of army cadets, but he was a really, really good map reader. So he had this sort of 1 to 25,000 map and his compass, and he used to instruct map reading and the use of compass. And he had come to exactly the same place that we had. So we knew we were in the right. And we were one side of the fence and he with his wife were on the other side. And he said, "This is supposed to be the right of way." And I said, "Yep, it's been blocked." And I said, "Look, 100 metres off to our right and his left, I said, there's a gate there." And last time in 2017, the fence was there as well. And I'd sort of taken a detour off through the gate. And I thought, well, I'm not been doing that again. I'm climbing over the fence. And I said, you can go off, over to the gate there and you can end up in the same field. And he said, "No, this is the right way." He said, "I'm going over." And he was getting on a bit, this guy. And he came over and he looked at his wife and he said, "Annie, are you coming over?" And she's like, "Yeah, too right." And this old lady, I mean, she went over it more elegantly than Stu and I did. So, sure.
So did you report it?
I haven't yet. No, I was thinking that yesterday when I was just reviewing my notes. And I thought, I forgot to report that. I must do that. Of course, you know what happened. I'll look at the definitive map and it's been diverted. So we should never have crossed that fence. Normally what happens. But from there, from the bottom of the Valley of the Stones, you kind of follow a fence line which takes you right to the Devil's Den. And at the moment it's a dead giveaway because it's just surrounded by rapeseed. It's just bright yellow.
Yeah, I saw your photo. It was really good with that yellow in the background. It was a lovely backdrop to the stone dolmen.
Yeah. And I took those photographs surrounded with yellow. You had previously taken photographs when it was it wheat that was growing?
Wheat,
in the,
yeah. Lovely ripe yellow wheat behind it. Yeah.
And Andrew Rumsey, the Bishop of Ramsbury, whose name I got completely wrong last time, he'd obviously gone to the Devil's Den a couple of days or a day or so after, because he posted a photograph in black and white on Instagram, which was fantastic. It was a really good photograph, in black and white. It just worked really well. He's a damn good photographer. The Devil's Den is pretty much all that's left of a burial chamber, which was basically it looks like one of the big stone monoliths at Stonehenge, but in miniature form. So you've got two vertical stones with a horizontal capstone over the top. But it used to be the mound that was there was apparently 230 feet long, and there's nothing left. I mean, there's just literally
it's been
stones.
It's been flattened, hasn't it?
Yeah. And the stones, I think, had collapsed because it was rebuilt in 1921. So what you're seeing now is what was rebuilt in 1921. A bit like Stonehenge, because a lot of that was in a collapsed state until around the same time when they put up a lot of the stones at Stonehenge. It's well worth a visit. I mean, you've just got to go and find it if you go out there.
It's a lovely thing to photograph when the crops are in season.
Yeah.
Just the backdrop to it is stunning. And did you know that Thomas Hardy, the famous writer, had written about the Devil's Den?
I did know that, and because that whole area was much visited in, you know, hundreds of years. And it was very famous. You know, the sarsen stones were very famous, and people would come up and visit, or they'd sort of drop by on their you know, as they were going along the A4, basically. But
Thomas Hardy, he set his short story called What the Shepherds Saw at the Devil's Den, and this is what he wrote about it. To the south, in the direction of the young shepherd's idle gaze, there rose one conspicuous object above the uniform moonlit plateau, and only one. It was a druidical trilithon consisting of three oblong stones in the form of a doorway, two on end and one across a lintel. Each stone had been worn, scratched, washed, nibbled, split, and otherwise attacked by 10,000 different weathers. But now the blocks looked shapely and little the worse for wear, so beautifully were they silvered over by the light of the moon. So there you go.
Oh, you read that beautifully, Glyn.
Thank you. I actually did that for once. Last year I was asked by Wessex Museums Trust. They were doing a sort of series of social media clips for about Thomas Hardy. And they said, we want to do some from Wiltshire, but he hasn't written much about Wiltshire, so we're a bit limited. And they gave me this quote about the Devil's Den. So I went there with my sort of camera and took some video and then overlaid my dulcet tones across the top and shoved it on Twitter.
Actually, it's a beautiful piece. I mean,
it
describes it perfectly.
Yeah. And actually, one thing I discovered last year when I went there in the evening is as the sun sets and comes down towards the horizon, if you get in the right position, the sun, the circle of the sun, is right in the middle of the dolmen. So I got this wonderful photo, and it was actually on the solstice on the 21st of June, I think, of the sun shining right through the middle of the dolmen.
So they don't just orientate these things randomly. I mean, it's facing that way at that angle for a reason.
Yeah, and the great thing was, probably shouldn't say this, because we'll probably get crowds of people up there now on the solstice. But when I was up there on the summer solstice last year, I was the only one there. There was no one else.
But from there, there's a very well used farm track that runs right alongside the Devil's Den, and again on the blog you'll see some photographs of a barn that really appealed to me. That caught my eye, and I sort of featured in three of my photographs. But that's right next to a farm track, which if you go in wet conditions, that'll be very muddy. I mean, we had to sort of climb up the verge and sort of hang on to some hazel branches to get around it, because it was, even when it was dry when we were there, it was still very muddy. But that track literally just tips you out onto the A4 at Clatford, and that was a dangerous crossing. And you know, that's, you know, if you're looking for a reason not to start south of the A4, that would be it. So we had to cross sort of one at a time. Stu sort of stood on a grassy bank, and he got sort of good line of sight to the west, you know, to our right, and was able to sort of shout that, you know, when it was clear. So I got across, and then being on the other side of the road, I could see and, you know, shout him across. But, you know, traffic really whipped down there. But it was worth doing to see Clatford Hall. So basically, having crossed from the farm track, you're straight into what looks like a private drive. In fact, we looked at it and thought, is this right? But it is a public right of way that takes you up to Clatford Hall, and you cross the river, across the Kennet again. There's a beautiful little spot there. We sort of spent some time just looking up and down the river. And then there's Clatford Hall right in front of you, and the public right of way takes a sharp left. So you get a good view of the hall through the big sort of iron gates. And Clatford Hall was partially built from sarsen stones as well, and then rendered with limestone. So I think that dates back to something like the 16th century. It's not the most attractive of buildings. I mean, it's quite sort of square. I mean, it's Grade 2 listed, or 2-star, I think. But really impressive looking, sort of sturdy looking manor house. And then the route we took us sort of around sort of three sides of it, you know, the front and then one side and then behind, and we headed back towards Lockeridge, which was, again, that was a sort of a lovely little walk, and, you know, you find past little hamlets and things before you get to Lockeridge itself. And, horror upon horrors, the Who'd Have Thought It pub, which is a terrific pub, was closed.
Oh, no.
And I'm not sure if it hasn't closed down, because it was a Wadworth's pub. And, as I think I've mentioned before, Wadworth's sold most, if not all, of their pubs a year or so ago. Yeah.
Right.
And it was looking very sorry for itself. So there were some lights on, but it wasn't open. But so whether it is opening in the evenings or what, I've no idea. But then it was just a question of sort of following the road between Lockeridge back to West Overton, which took us past the village hall, which is another spot you can park.
Yeah.
So, as I said, you know, for me, it was worth, I think, starting from the south. The first time I did the walk, I came back through. I dropped onto the A4 and crossed the A4 at the village of Fifield. I'll say village, a lot more than a hamlet, which has got a really fine sort of big church there. I often wonder about this. I mean, West Overton is a really big church. Fifield's a big church, and these are such little places. And you often think, you know, these churches are built as a bit of a statement. I think, you know, if there's sort of wealth, if there's money in the village, then, you know, they want a big church to show how wealthy they are.
Yep. Yep. Definitely.
And as I say, to see the Kennet there, beautiful chalk stream. But there's so much to see on Fifield, and, you know, I could understand anybody saying, "Well, actually, we'll leave the south of the Kennet for another day and just spend all day on Fifield Down." Quite easily do that.
Very easily, and you can spend certainly waste a lot of time looking for individual stones, because at times it's like looking for a needle in a haystack. There are thousands of them,
Yeah. Literally
thousands. It truly is a valley of the stones. Okay, so that brings us to the end of another podcast.
Yeah.
So as I said at the start, we're going to Sutton Veney and Titherington in 2 weeks' time.
We should probably just say thanks to Steve for the music again. The music in the middle we've used before, actually. It's called Downlands, but it just seemed completely appropriate for the environment we've been in today.
Yes, definitely.
And lower.co.uk, HW20 for your discount. And the website for show notes and links to stuff.
So we shall see you, or you will hear us, in 2 weeks' time. Goodbye.
Bye now.